Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. I hope everybody had a great weekend. How could you not? As scheduled, Tesla released the FSD beta, of course, still to the limited test group, but today we'll be taking a look at some of the first reactions from those owners. Then over the weekend, we also had sort of a strange debate raging about a photo of a Tesla battery pack. We'll talk about the details behind that. Then Elon Musk did take the stand today in a court case against SolarCity. Then we've got some news on Model Y, Giga Berlin, and a couple other things as well. Pretty strong start to the week today for Tesla stock, finishing up 4.4% to $685.70. That compared to the Nasdaq up just 0.2%. Alright, so first up, FSD Beta. Elon did come through with his most recent scheduled promise. FSD Beta did release to this limited test group overnight on Friday night. I'm sure a fair amount of you have spent a lot of time this weekend watching those first videos. I know I certainly have, and from everything that I've seen so far, I think one word can kind of sum this up well, and that's progress. Beta 9 is by no means perfect. It is still a beta, as Elon Musk highlighted a few days ago, so hopefully that was in line with people's expectations. But the functionality does seem to be better than the last beta that we had, version 8.2. And critically important, this is with pure vision only, so no more radar. Even parity with 8.2, with that change being made, would be progress, and yet this does seem like another step beyond where Tesla was with 8.2. Externally, one of the most noticeable changes is the new visualization, so we've heard Elon Musk talk a couple of times about this mind of car idea. We now see that with the new visualization. This example was shared by Tesla Lisa on Twitter, and as you can see, it is just a stark contrast from what we had seen in 8.2. It's looking much more like a finished product now. That's great to see because I doubt Tesla would have gone to wide release with the old visualization, just didn't really look finished enough. However, obviously that is less critical than the actual performance. That's what we really care about. As I said, I would sum that up with the word progress, but the other consistent thought that I continue to see from beta testers is that the performance is much smoother. So one of the testers here, James Locke, I think he does a great job with his commentary. He says, first impressions, he loves the new UI for visualizations, much smoother and more polished, much smoother acceleration and deceleration movements, very confident in all turns, less jerking motion in the turn. So kind of across the board there, smoother visualizations, smoother acceleration, deceleration, smoother in turns. Tesla owner Silicon Valley here saying Tesla Vision is so much smoother than anything prior to this update. Holmars here, first reaction, saying it's so much smoother. Six O's in that for those of you listening to audio. And then K10 here, Kristen, explaining the differences by saying that the new version is smoother, less disengagements, and less what appears to be hesitant reactions. Last one here then from Brandon, who I wouldn't really say was critical of 8.2, but was one of the beta testers that was at least willing to discuss some of the performances that weren't ideal. His first reaction, quote, wow, I'm completely impressed. The new FSD beta version 9 drives so smooth and natural. Even autopilot on the highway drives better. Amazing work, Tesla, Elon Musk, end quote. He also said that he is seeing far fewer disengagements so far. That said, of course, fewer disengagements is not no disengagements. We've seen some examples of required disengagements. I think Galley at Hyperchange had potentially one of the worst ones. His car seemed to want to go directly into the concrete columns for the Seattle monorail. So Galley did take over, and at that point, you don't really know what would have happened, but the way the vehicle steered toward those columns, it certainly didn't seem to recognize them. Another example here from AI Addict, there are some bushes that are overgrown, encroaching into the lane. Tesla starts driving through the lane and actually scrapes up against the bushes, you can hear it on the vehicle, which I suppose for a robotaxi, probably okay, but not really something you want happening to your own car, so he had to disengage. So a couple examples of those types of things already. And then I would say that I've seen path planning continue to be somewhat of a challenge, certainly in some environments more than others. In this same video from AI Addict, which is in downtown San Francisco, so a challenging environment, you can see that it first fails to merge and then kind of continues on through the bus and taxi lane only, which coincidentally enough, again, I guess would be fine for a robotaxi, but I don't think that's why it's behaving that way right now. So a lot of good things with this update, but still plenty to be improved upon as we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully this launch now gets us back to a place where we were in late Q4, early Q1, where beta updates were kind of coming every week or 2 weeks and actually making quite a bit of progress. Then Tesla sort of put it all on pause to switch over to vision only. Now we're there. Hopefully that means that Tesla will be back to making those frequent updates where we can actually see the progress. The really good news about this update, though, is that it definitely seems to be strongly supportive of the choice to go to vision only. In addition to hardware cost savings, compute savings, things that can add up to be actually pretty significant, hopefully this helps Tesla streamline the development process as well. The last thing that I would say to keep in mind with all these videos, I think naturally the bad experiences are going to rise to the top in terms of visibility. Really not that different than anything else, I suppose, but FSD, when solved, should actually be quite boring. Nobody really wants to watch a car drive around for an hour, but what they do want to watch is FSD navigating really complex, tricky situations, corner cases, things like that. And that has merit for sure, but my guess is that FSD beta is going to progress very similarly to how we have seen Navigate on Autopilot progress, where in certain more normal circumstances, it's phenomenal, but some of the more tricky situations are probably going to take quite a bit of time to solve. As for a wider release, of course, we had heard Elon say that hopefully that'll happen in a month. Obviously, that's an aspirational Elon timeline, which I don't think I really need to add any disclaimers onto, but I do still think it'll be a fair amount longer than that. It's tough because in so many circumstances, it would work so well for so many people. But if you give it to everyone, you know there's going to be people in that group that are just going to push it beyond its limits, which is just going to be a really difficult situation for Tesla to navigate through, I think kind of regardless. But I do think it'll take Tesla more than a month with the new update to feel comfortable with that decision. That said, who knows? Elon did try to do the FSD beta button like 4 months ago, so I guess we'll see. All right, next up is the other hotly debated topic of the weekend, and that is this photo of a battery pack. This was shared out on Reddit, and I believe they said that this was a 4680 battery pack signing. I think that thread has since been deleted, but you can see that this is clearly a Tesla pack. There's a heart that says "For Elon" on it, and plenty of the names can be traced back to Tesla employees. Where the debate has sprung up is on what kind of battery pack this is. Again, the original poster, I believe, said 4680 battery signing ceremony. Somebody then asked Bill Wright on Twitter, who has leaked information in the past, appears to be a Giga Nevada employee, and he said that that was confirmed 4680 pack. Bill Wright has provided good information in the past, but then we have this person on Reddit, the Mighty Fuji, who claims to work at Fremont, says Bill Wright is wrong, and that they know for sure because they are one of the people that signed this pack. So people on Reddit and on Twitter debating if this is a structural pack or not structural, 18650 or 4680. Bill Wright never said structural, but he did double down then on the 4680, sarcastically replying here, saying, "Hey guys, I was wrong. Even though I touched this pack and the components inside, Alex knows exactly what is inside." Alex was one of the people commenting, saying that he believes it's not 4680. And after that, Bill Wright apparently taking a break from Twitter for a while. All right, so let's just take a quick look at this in Photoshop. I've kind of done a little bit of this ahead of time because it takes some time, but basically what I've done is just isolate the battery pack from the rendering that we get on Tesla's actual Model S page online. So just grab the battery pack there, and with a couple of adjustments, we can actually make this fit this photo pretty closely. So basically what I've done is just kind of done that, changed the perspective and things like that a little bit, just so it matches out. So here is that layer. I'm just going to hide this one quick. Here is that layer that I've done that on already ahead of time. And you can see how closely they match as I change the opacity here. So you can look for these features. What I lined up was sort of this giant indent here. You can see that this here is exactly the same too as I lowered the opacity. Right there. And this thing here. We've got that. This is lining up. That at the top is lining up. Everything is lining up pretty darn well. So to me, this definitely looks like the exact pack that Tesla has online for the Model S page. To me, it looks like a plaid pack. Furthermore, if we do look at Tesla's website, they do have an animation of a 4680 structural pack, and to me, it looks nothing like this pack. Now, as we have talked about extensively, the plaid definitely has 18650s. As for why this picture would be surfacing now, from the Mighty Fuji, apparently there were a couple times they did these signed packs, February and May. So this is probably an old picture from either the prototype pack or the first production pack for the plaid. Of course, that doesn't stop theories about a 4680 plaid pack. Maybe that's what this is. So people may be thinking Plaid Plus would be back on the table if that were the case. I think that's extremely unlikely. Why would they delay the Plaid Plus, then cancel the Plaid Plus if they had this battery ready to go? Tesla has already gone ahead and converted people that ordered the Plaid Plus over to the Plaid. Those customers would be pretty upset if Tesla then all of a sudden came out in the next year or even 2 years and said, "Oh, by the way, here's the Plaid Plus," on that original schedule that we had. That makes almost no sense and would be very disingenuous to the people buying Tesla's most expensive products. So I think this is quote unquote just an 18650 pack, but that's okay. There's a ton of new technology in that that needs to be celebrated as well. And Elon Musk already said at Battery Day that they have vehicles testing out 4680 batteries. So that wouldn't even be all that meaningful anyway, unless this were a 4680 structural production pack. That might be different, but this certainly doesn't look structural to me either. So I'm just going to go with the simplest explanation that makes the most sense to me. Plaid 18650 pack. All right, next up here, we've got one of the media's favorite things, Elon Musk on trial. A group of shareholders is suing Elon Musk for the SolarCity acquisition. We've talked about it before. Personally, I think the whole thing is nonsense. Tesla's board of directors had already settled. Elon Musk did not. But from my understanding, there's actually no liability on Tesla from this. From the Wall Street Journal here, quote, "If Mr. Musk loses, he could be asked to make Tesla whole. That payment could equal the value of the SolarCity transaction if the presiding judge finds the solar firm wasn't worth anything when Tesla agreed to buy it," end quote. So because I don't think this is really all that impactful to Tesla, we're not going to go through all the nitty-gritty details, but the gist is that the lawsuit alleges that Musk either manipulated or had too much power over the board, which otherwise would not have approved the transaction, which apparently has been super harmful to these Tesla shareholders, even though the value of Tesla stock has more than 10x'd since that point in time. Regardless, the media getting some fun headlines out of this today. So Reuters here saying that, quote, "Musk tells SolarCity trial that Tesla would die if he wasn't CEO," end quote. And the Associated Press slash MarketWatch here picking up on Elon saying that he rather hates being the CEO of Tesla. But these are sentiments Elon has shared many times in the past, just saying that if he could find someone else to fill the CEO job, he would do it. He prefers to spend his time on design and engineering. There were a couple of other interesting interactions, again from the Reuters article. Randall Barron, the plaintiff's attorney, had asked if the Tesla board had vetted Elon's Techno King title. I don't think Elon directly answered, but he did say, quote, "It generated a whole bunch of free press and Tesla doesn't advertise and it's helpful to general sales," adding that the title was a joke, and quote, "I think I'm funny," end quote. I thought that was interesting because sometimes we speculate if Elon is doing some of these things that he's doing just for attention or just for getting Tesla's name in the press, and Elon here kind of confirming that he does think about those things. Another little interaction here that I think people would either find amusing or abhorrent, depending on their view on Elon Musk, was when Barron asked if Elon had rage-fired anybody, and whether or not Elon would deride people on those occasions. So Elon said no, he hasn't rage-fired anybody, but that he does give, quote, "clear and frank feedback which may be construed as derision," end quote. At which point Barron played back some of the exchanges that they had already had, I guess attempting to show that Musk is derisive, saying, quote, "That was openly derisive not for some benefit of Tesla, but because you didn't like what was happening, correct?" end quote. And then from Bloomberg's report on this, they say that, quote, "Musk said he doesn't respect Barron because he first worked at a law firm, Milberg Weiss, whose partners were imprisoned for paying kickbacks to expert witnesses and plaintiffs. Barron currently works for another firm, Robbins Geller. Quote, you were mentored by criminals, then you continued to be mentored by criminals, and that is why I do not respect you. I think you are a bad human being," end quote. I definitely don't know enough about any of those law firms to comment on that, but as we've seen in the past, Elon's certainly not afraid to speak his mind and defend himself in this case. All right, next up, we've got some news on the Fremont-made Model Y. So this is from the Kilowatts on Twitter sharing this out. Looks like new Model Ys from Fremont are being delivered with bioweapon defense mode. This has been a feature on the Model X since inception, and a few years back it was also added to the Model S. Basically means that the Model Y now also has the larger Tesla-designed HEPA air filtration system. Now, this isn't all that surprising. This was pretty underreported on, but the China-made Model Y has actually had the bioweapon defense mode since the start of production. So Fremont now incorporating that in. As for the Model 3, Elon has previously said that the filters were just too large in size for the Model 3 to fit. So unless Tesla's able to eventually change the design on that, don't hold your breath for that coming to the Model 3. Next up, we've got a report from Berlin.de on Giga Berlin. This has to do with comments from the often-mentioned Brandenburg Minister of Economic Affairs, Jörg Steinbach, who said that he expects a decision on the application for approval for the Tesla car plant in the fourth quarter of this year, adding, quote, unless there are currently unpredictable further reasons to a further delay, end quote. Translated quote there. I don't think at this point anyone expected earlier than Q4, so probably doesn't change too much. The other detail that he did add is that, quote, Steinbach considers a final veto by the State Environment Agency and a dismantling of the site to be virtually impossible. Quote, this is not about the approval of a new nuclear power plant, he said, end quote. So that's referring to Tesla doing some of the construction under temporary permits or preliminary permits. Steinbach basically saying that it's virtually impossible that Tesla would have to go back on those permits. It's really just about making adjustments here and there, I think, if needed, not about whether or not the factory can eventually exist. Next here, I want to talk about an article from sammobile.com that seemed to get a lot of attention today. It had over 1,000 upvotes on the Tesla Motors subreddit. They are parroting South Korean reports that Samsung and Tesla have agreed on a $436 million contract for cameras, apparently intended for Tesla's latest electric vehicle unveiled November 2019. Obviously, that would be the Cybertruck. So that is interesting news, but why it got so many upvotes, and I think why people were interested in this article, was because of a section in the article that reads, quote, "The prototype vehicle showcased on stage wasn't equipped with conventional rearview mirrors, but instead it used an array of cameras connected to the dashboard's displays. The production model shouldn't be all that different from the original prototype, and these reports further confirm that the Cybertruck will have a mirrorless design," end quote. There's nothing in this article that gives me any indication that that is anything other than the author's speculation. Obviously, we know that Tesla vehicles use cameras regardless of whether or not they have mirrors. So a deal with Samsung for cameras on the Cybertruck definitely by itself is not any confirmation of a mirrorless design whatsoever. And Tesla has contracted the cameras from Samsung in the past. So I don't know why this article's author jumps to that conclusion. But unless they have more details than the article shared, that is not the conclusion that I would take away. Obviously, Tesla would like to have a mirrorless design. That's how the prototype was designed. My understanding is that regulations are still prohibitive there. And either way, I don't see how this report gives any indication one way or another. So just wanted to share my thoughts on that as I saw that narrative developing. Lastly here, we've got an update from Germany on electric vehicle incentives. The Federal Ministry of Economic Affairs announced late last week that the electric vehicle incentives will be extended in Germany through 2025. Extended from the original end of 2021 deadline. This has been the expectation since late last year, so this isn't necessarily huge news, but at least good to have that confirmation and clarity. So that is really it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, July 13th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.